What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. It is, oh my God, it's Saturday. It's not actually Saturday as we're recording this. John Breach and Joel Corey, who are joining me from Indianapolis. But this is the bonus Saturday episode that I promised you beautiful people that I would bring to you. And it is here, and it's going to be awesome. There will also be a Sunday episode live from Indy as well before I get out of town. I got to tell you guys, a little birdie got in my ear and said that the traffic for the podcast show was spiking between 12 and 1. It's because all these people who listen to this podcast jumped on CBS Sports HQ. You guys are the best for making me look good. Because, you know, if the traffic goes up from 12 to 1 for our show, John, and then it goes back down when Prisco comes on, yeah.
Is it Pick Six Nation, Pick Six Army? What are we going to roll with
I kind of like Pick Six Army. And this is Joel Corey's first time on the show, right?
Since we rebranded.
Rebranded. Yeah. Went daily. What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How you guys doing?
Former agent to the stars. Now cap genius, franchise tag. You are the definitive franchise tag reference in the NFL world, right?
Well, if you're going to say I am, I'll agree with it. But
I would also agree.
I mean, like, I feel like everybody links back to your story when you project the tags.
Well, I try that back.
Do we have the actual? No, we don't have the numbers yet.
No,
right?
You don't have the actual numbers
because the cap
isn't because
set.
The cap hasn't been set because it's tied to percentage of the cap.
Yeah,
but I keep track of the numbers each year, and then I run them by team sources for any discrepancies. And they're like, "No, you're off here. This is where you're off." So when I release what I think would be the numbers, the cap is a certain place. They're almost spot on.
I heard a. Is there a chance that there's an extra mini spike in the cap this year?
Well, what I heard from some agents at the NFLPA meeting today that they said 180, around 189.
189? Okay,
yeah,
I heard
189, so I don't know.
I heard like 192 little, was
that'd be great. 192
was a possibility.
But they're telling agents 189. I don't know if that's they're trying to diminish expectations, but sometimes so there is an extra spike in the cap occasionally.
Okay,
but it should come out the official numbers.
It usually
last
comes
year,
out
last year the 5th was the date, so it's going to be any day now.
Okay, yeah, it could actually be. Well, we're recording this at 4:45 on Friday, March 1st. So probably not today. I would assume it would have come out because 4:30 is really like the close of business.
Exactly.
I would guess Monday is probably the day then because Tuesday is the deadline, and they don't. That's why.
Well,
these
the 5th is the deadline for the tag, so right. you typically release it right around the tag.
Well, you have to know before the deadline.
Well, teams kind of know generally. Okay, it's going to be this range, so they plan X amount, and if it's a little bit over, they're okay with that.
Right. Are you surprised at how tagging has morphed? And you wrote a good story for CBSSports.com about changes that need to be made. Are you surprised at how, like, the only guy who's been tagged is Robbie Gould, a kicker?
He wasn't supposed to be tagged if you go for what the original intent of the tag was. It was basically for a marquee player, namely a quarterback. It wasn't, let's restrict our best guy who's going to hit the open market. So you weren't supposed to be tagging kickers. He's the only one so far.
In theory, Robbie Gould, if he was really dead set on it, and he's a 36-year-old kicker who's now going to get $5 million, and as Breach wrote, is the highest paid kicker in the NFL, so he's probably not dead set on fighting them over this. Like, he likes the idea of this one-year deal. He could try and, like,
well, the
like,
thing
file
is,
a grievance.
If you didn't tag him, he was probably high-tailing it back to Chicago.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing about the kicker franchise tag, I will say, a lot of teams realize this, especially teams that don't like to spend a lot of money, is that that's your lowest cost.
Right, it's
franchise
the cheapest tag you can
so,
put
on like,
anyone.
If you don't want to tag your quarterback or your star defensive lineman because it's going to cost so much, you're like, you know what, I like our kicker, we don't want him to leave, let's tag him. And then the kicker doesn't care because that's the position where you're not going to get injured, and I'll hit the market next year, I got
and
my guaranteed tag
forever.
Money. Exactly, so it is a win-win for
a kicker.
How old
is Adam Vinatieri, 79? No, it's like 46.
He was on our
which
show,
is close
the
to
Super Bowl. Vinatieri's the man, he's cool.
Because in New
he's running a ranch in Missouri now, too, that my dad wants me to take him out to this offseason.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, go shoot some elk or something.
You get old, that's what you start doing, running ranches.
Yeah, but in New England, here's what's interesting. They've got a left tackle that'll be in high demand. Trent Brown.
Yep.
They've got an edge rusher
that'll
be in high demand. But the guy who's the best franchise tag candidate is Steven Gutkowski, the kicker. They franchised him before.
And the Patriots I've only used the tag twice in the new CBA. One of the lower numbers.
He was one of them. Welker was the other.
Yeah, Welker. And then Welker was just because Welker was refusing to sign.
And that was the year, back in 2011, the formula or methodology changed. So at that point, tags were rolled back a couple million. They've now, as the cap goes up, it's tied to the increase in the cap, that players are about 5% better off collectively under the new methodology than the old methodology. It doesn't mean every position you're better off, but if you took the aggregate, you're about 5% better off. But, yeah, kickers get franchises, you're right, because it's the lowest number. And that's why New England might do that.
Well, one thing Joel's saying right here that he just casually mentions, that it would be Gostkowski's second tag, so he would get $6 million, gets 20% more. And so that's where that becomes interesting, because I don't know the Patriots want to give a kicker $6 million. We're talking no kicker had ever made $5 million for a season. That's what Robbie Gould's going to get. And now we're suddenly boosting that up.
Yeah, but is Gostkowski going to, like, hit the open market and just peace out?
Well, he didn't have the best year this year.
He's been struggling the last 3 years.
Yeah, because his accuracy was down.
I think did Vinatieri leave New England, or was it?
He left.
No, I know that, but I mean, like, the Patriots, I felt like it was like the Patriots were grooming for another, like they were ready
for
another.
Well, they weren't going to pay him what he wanted. That's what it came down to.
Well, that's the Patriot way. When people talk about the Patriot way, yeah. To me, being a former agent,
it's about economics.
The Patriot way is it's better to get rid of a player a year too early as opposed to a year too late. The only guy that won't apply to is Tom Brady. You know, I don't know when Father Tom's going to catch up.
Well, I think it applies to Tom Brady. It's just like that year too late never happens. Like it's,
or they're only paying him $14 million, so just like whatever.
So, speaking of non-kicker tags, not that it's not the kickers aren't excited.
This could be a whole kicker podcast, but we don't need that right now. We got Joel here.
So speaking of the non-kicker tags, I have a trade that's happening in a fantasy league. Do you want to know who I traded?
Robbie Gould.
No, I traded Jameson Taillon, pitcher for the Pirates.
For Jameis Winston?
No, Scooter Gennett and Mitch Haniger for Giannis Antetokounmpo and Kyle Lowry. That's right. I traded baseball players for basketball players. It's a three-sport fantasy league.
I've never heard of that.
You draft all the – I do it with Jonah Carey. And you draft
all – Is that the Super League? What's the league called?
The League of Leagues.
League
you draft
leagues.
All three sports at the same time. So okay. We have the number one pick, and we're going to take James Harden, and then we're hoping we can grab, like, Mookie Betts on the wrap.
I can barely run a fantasy football team. Yeah. The last thing I need is three sports.
Trying to
put trades together.
It's a total disaster.
So
anyway.
Is it the Mickey Loomis League?
That's right. Yeah. It is the Mickey. Like, yeah, if Mickey Loomis had a baseball team, it would be his league.
Or Stan Kasten?
Yeah.
Since he was Hawks and Braves?
Hawks, and that's right. Okay, so Dexter Lawrence is in the draft. DeMarcus Lawrence is a very interesting case to me. If you were his agent, Agent David Kanter, he has negotiated some deals with outside linebacker, or you know, pass rushers, I guess. Olivier Vernon came over as a 4-3 end and then has now been shifted to a 3-4 backer. What are you hoping is the outcome of your contract negotiations with the Dallas Cowboys? Are you taking anything less than blank? You won't take anything less than blank million.
Well, here's the interesting thing. Since they made him play on one franchise tag and he played well, leverage shifts. His second franchise tag is just under 20.6. You won't franchise him a third time because it's 144% of that tag or the quarterback number, whichever is greater. So if they want to keep him, they have to do a deal. Now, knowing that if I'm David Kanter, I did the Olivier Vernon deal, what I'm doing is I'm telling Dallas, yeah, that deal is relevant and here's how. We're going to take a 2016 deal at $17 million per year. We're going to adjust it for cap inflation. Cap will be around $190 million. So the starting point for serious discussions is just under $21
million. Just under $21
million. A year.
So, like, the Cowboys shouldn't bother coming to the table with $19 million a year.
No, that's not getting anything done.
Right.
After I had to play a whole year on the tag?
Yep.
And then have to overcome a risk of injury and poor performance? No, you're not getting a break. So, and I'd also say, well, he's more consistent than Vernon. He's done it 2 years in a row. When I did the Vernon deal, and I hate to disparage my own client if I'm David Kanter, he had half of a good year. So we have more of a track record playing at a high level. So this is where it's going to have to be. And this is what all these other guys who are going to get tagged, Frank Clark, Dee Ford, Jadeveon Clowney want. And Dallas is already negotiating, so Dallas is interested in getting it done sooner rather than later. They want him to get done and set a new benchmark in between Von Miller's $19 million and the Khalil Mack, Aaron Donald, $22.5 million.
So he's not going to get Khalil Mack money.
No, I don't think this is going to be like the quarterback market where the next deal done sets the market, and then the next deal after that sets the market. I think you're going to see guys drafting in for the time being under the Khalil Mack deal.
If you were DeMarcus Lawrence, would you consider being like, no, it's fine, tag me in 2019?
He already said he would when he signed the tag quickly last year. He said, I'm not doing this 2 years in a row.
But he'd get a 20% bump too, right? So that, what is that up to? That's like, you said 21 million?
He's 21. He's like 20.6 right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's 21 and then 144% of that.
Or the quarterback number. So it's a minimum going to be 27 million.
27 million. Yeah. So in other words, he's starting at a baseline.
The Cowboys have pressure to get a deal done now because of that.
And like Randy Gregory's suspension, that probably doesn't hurt you as a negotiation table.
David Irving suspended indefinitely.
So you don't have any pass rushers besides him. And Jerry's been saying, I want my war daddy pass rusher. And he hasn't had one since DeMarcus Ware. He's now got his war daddy pass rusher, so pony up.
And then, do you think a deal gets done?
Yeah, I don't know if it gets done now, but there'll be one done before the July 15th deadline.
So for those that don't know, March 5th, is that Monday, March 5th? Tuesday is March 5th. Tuesday, March 5th at 4 p.m. is the deadline to apply the franchise tag. We will see a flurry of those on Monday and Tuesday with teams announcing probably Monday afternoon by 4:30, so that way they don't have to sweat the paperwork on Tuesday. If you tag somebody, you have until July 15th to work out a long-term deal, and if you don't do that, you are not allowed to negotiate with that player until the after the season, after the 2019 season. So what we saw like with Drew Brees and the Saints two contracts ago.
Yeah, 11th hour, you got a deal done.
Right.
Des Bryant. Yeah, Demaryius Thomas, 11th hour.
Yeah, Julio Jones. No, Julio Jones.
No, he's an extension.
Tag. That's right.
But
the
benefit of not having a guy play on the tag is once you tag the guy, whether he signs it or not, that amount counts on your cap. And if you do a deal, your first year cap number, in most cases,
you basically get $20 million in your cap.
Is a lot lower than what that tag amount's going to be. And Dallas has a ton of things they want to do this offseason. So they really don't want to have DeMarcus Lawrence sitting there for $20.6 million. Cap hit until they get a deal done. But also the flip side of that is Dallas restructures every contract into oblivion, so they'll just kick the can down the road if they have to.
And the Cowboys, I mean, they're going to be in cap hell soon, right? Because they have DeMarcus Lawrence.
Haven't we been saying this for a while? But see, I don't think
Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott.
I don't think cap hell exists anymore.
Because the cap goes up 7-8%, so you can do what they do and what the Saints do, and you can outrun it. But if the cap goes up the 1-2% or stagnant like it was in 2011, 12, 13.
Well, see, now that's the thing.
Then you have trouble.
Yeah, because you have 2021, you have the CBA ending.
Right. And remember, when they negotiate a new CBA, it's entirely possible that what happens with the cap is it ends up coming out slow up. Because everybody was complaining as soon as the new CBA was done in 2011, they're like, this cap is supposed to go up, and it's never going up. Well, they just structured it in a way that it didn't go up early, and then it's been spiking like crazy in the back
right,
half.
The saving grace will be TV deals will be up, or I don't know how they're going to account for new forms or platforms of media rights, but I've never seen a TV deal go down.
No.
Yeah, I mean, if we look at the last Thursday with Fox just paying – throwing billions of dollars at the NFL, if that happens in the next TV contract, it's going to shoot up.
Look, I mean,
Facebook,
yeah, you have
Amazon.
You have more bidders who are going to get involved in that.
Oh, yeah, anytime
YouTube.
You got at least one bidder who wants in and wants to take the place of somebody else.
Especially a non-traditional one.
And there's been reports that ABC might want to get back in.
Oh, then that's the league's going to be able to leverage that into a nice new deal where people are going to go, I thought ratings were down.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's like the NFL's probably going to be fine.
And that could be the saving grace that if the TV deals jump exponentially,
just see the cap
then the cap's
going to
go because that's a function. The cap is a function primarily of the TV deals.
Do teams, I mean, teams are aware of this. I mean, like obviously like the people they employ, like, because remember, I mean, like, you need a capologist. Every team needs a good cap guy, but or multiple cap guys.
Right.
But it's not as tough to do anymore, is it? Like, it's, I mean, right?
Yes and no, because now you're dealing with bigger amounts of money. But it's not as tough as it was in some years where the cap didn't go up. There was one big year the cap jumps, and then it's barely going up. And then it's harder to manage the cap. Because I remember years ago, Jacksonville went all in trying to win a Super Bowl, and thank God there was the expansion draft because they had a lot of cap issues besides that and got pawned a bunch of guys off on Houston.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Isn't it, it's pretty wild how, like, I think if like this podcast had existed in 1996, that like we wouldn't have covered the cap extensively. Like, isn't it crazy how much?
Oh, because back then cap people weren't as sophisticated as they are now.
Oh, and so. The salary cap was like $30 million, so there wasn't it wasn't too difficult. We could literally count on our hands each contract on our fingers.
You have 30 million hands. 30 million fingers.
I have 3 fingers, and each can count for $10 million, Brenton.
Oh, that's a fair point.
Yeah.
Who else do you think is going to get tagged, Joel?
Besides those pass rushers I mentioned, I think you're probably going to see Grady Jarrett get tagged in Atlanta. He did something that he needed to do to get big bucks. He'd always been very good against the run. He flashed his pass rushing potential against the Patriots in the Super Bowl. But he had over 50 quarterback pressures this year. By that, I mean sacks, hurries, and hits combined. For an interior defensive lineman, that's pretty good. So now he's a premier run stuffer who also can get to the quarterback. That gets you out of that, I'm going to pay him like a run stuffer type compensation, and now he's going to get paid also for his ability to rush the passer.
We saw Kyler Murray talk, John, and Joel, were you? I don't know if you were in there.
No, I didn't see that.
But I mean, what was your takeaway from Kyler Murray's press conference? Outside of the fact that, as predicted by me, you were not able to get close enough to ask a question. And I'm not blaming you for that. I'm just pointing it out that I was right, because that's what I like to do on this podcast. What did you think of Kyler Murray's comments to the media?
Well, if I want to be vindictive, I would have gotten to the press conference 30 minutes early and the first one lined up at his podium, but I didn't.
I purposely delayed you.
I rolled in 60 seconds because Brenton delayed me with some absurd discussion that I don't even want to get into. But so what did I think of Kyler Murray is that...
Get me in trouble.
Here's the thing is... It feels like he's chummy with Cliff Kingsbury. I'm just buying this number one pick stuff even more. He's saying, hey, it'd be fun to play with the Cardinals. Hey, Kingsbury and I talk all the time in high school, when he recruited him out of high school, and he sounded like he would be genuinely excited to play in a Kingsbury offense. And so that was the sense. Like, hey, this guy might actually go number one.
He's also, I think he's going to get dinged, Joel, for some of that Marcus Mariota. He's not a leader. Because he's too soft-spoken and quiet. And look, he is kind of boring. Like, it wasn't an exciting...
Well, you want your quarterback to be boring. Do you want Johnny Manziel?
Right. Yeah. You want Baker Mayfield, not Kyler Murray.
No, but here's why I'm not dismissing him going number one.
The
other day, Arizona said Josh Rosen is our quarterback for now.
Now, in fairness, Steve Keim did come over here. And I don't know if we have the... I don't feel like getting the audio. But he came on he came on to CBS Sports HQ with Pete Prisco and said, Josh is our guy.
Definitively?
He said it definitively.
Okay.
But look, when you say for now or right now, you open yourself up to the possibility.
Yeah, exactly, because Jacksonville said
Blake Bortles is
our quarterback
right now.
For now. We know he's our quarterback for 15 minutes, and he's going to be gone. So when you start qualifying it, it kind of raises a red flag.
What would you be doing if you were the agent for Kyler Murray? And it's a weird situation because he's also the agent for Cliff Kingsbury. Eric Burkhart, who...
It also gives them an inside
three-way phone call?
The connections
I would be selling him to Kingsbury as much as I could. This is the guy you really want, Cliff. So, that's perfectly set up for him. Perfect storm. But besides that, I'm making sure everyone is convinced he's a football player, not a baseball player.
Mm.
But the flip side of that is if there's a team he really doesn't want to go to, this gives him a chance to use that baseball thing.
Where it's like, Eli Manning style.
It's like, if I don't want to be a Redskin, and say I don't know where he's going to go, and I'm assuming he's a first round pick, but if you don't want to be a Redskin, and all of a sudden, baseball, I sure do like trying to chase curveballs.
Yeah, you know who did that? John Elway.
Yes, he
Baltimore
did.
Baltimore Colts drafted him, and all of a sudden he's like, you know what? I'll go play baseball if you guys think I'm going to play for the Baltimore Colts, and boom, he ends up in Denver.
He's in a unique situation where he potentially can have a little more control over where he lands than any other player typically.
My take on this is that if you are the Cardinals, you need to get the best quarterback for your team. If you think that Josh Rosen is not the guy, then you need to figure out a way to trade him to somebody else. You need to, and if you believe that Kyler Murray is the guy, and then draft Kyler Murray and put him in Cliff Kingsbury's system because you have to win this year. But I would not be willing to make that trade unless I was getting a first round pick in return for Josh Rosen. Because I think if you got Kyler Murray at one and then a defensive player in the second round, that's not commensurate with the value that you would have with Josh Rosen and Nick Bosa.
Or either Josh Rosen and trying to trade out and accumulate more picks because you don't have a ton of talent on your team. But I would think you'd be able to get a first round for Josh Rosen for this reason. I've heard people say that if you had to put all these quarterbacks in a vacuum, that there's no quarterback this year which would rank above the four that went in the top 10 last year.
Exactly.
So Rosen's automatically should still be worth the first round pick, even though he didn't play particularly well last year.
See, if I'm the Redskins, I would call the Cardinals and be like, look, we'll give you 15 for Josh Rosen. Let's just get this done. And then you can, like let the speculation run wild when it comes to Kyler Murray going first. I mean, like, actually, speculation would end. Kyler Murray would be going.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Now, look, the league may even – I'm entirely convinced that the NFL purposely suppresses draft day drama because they want it to lead up as the draft gets ready.
Like, oh, yeah, because it's on a TV show.
Yeah, absolutely.
They want eyeballs. But I look at it this way from the first-round pick thing. That years ago, there was a guy that went for a first-round pick, and his rookie trading his second year. In his first year, he did everything you could possibly do wrong. It looked like he was going to be the cautionary tale that Johnny Manziel is right now. But Atlanta got a first-round pick for Brett Favre.
You're right.
From Green Bay. And that rookie year, if you just took the rookie year in its isolation,
disaster.
You thought Brett Favre would never amount to anything.
Yep.
So if you can get a first-round pick for a guy who did everything to show you he's not an NFL player.
What round was Steve Young drafted in?
That's a whole messed up situation. See, with he was 1984
first.
Draft. The
that's
Bengals true, had the true. Number one pick. They were going to take him, and he said, "No, I'm going to go play in the USFL." Signed a 43-year, $40 million contract in the USFL.
Is it a 43-year deal?
40-year, $43 million deal. So it would have paid him out till 2026. And then
that's Bryce Harper money.
He did not go back in the draft, I don't think. I think the Buccaneers got his rights.
Right.
And
he
then
played in Tampa, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't want to play in Tampa, and obviously ended up with the 49ers.
Well, he played in Tampa.
Oh, right, the USFL went belly up.
Yeah. So, no, but the Brett Favre comp is really interesting. I mean,
thanks
like,
to somebody who's in Washington right now.
No, I'm just kidding. You're fine. Bruce Allen? Dan Snyder?
Actually, Bruce Allen was a GM in that league.
I know. No. So, I actually know. My reference was actually accurate. What would you do if you're the Cardinals?
If I thought Josh Rosen was a legitimate quarterback, I would trade out of the first pick. Because if you can accumulate multiple picks, then you can start replenishing the talent base there.
I would call the Raiders. Say, look, Nick Bosa's not making it to four. You need an edge rush or something bad, John. Get this Bosa kid.
They don't need edge rushers in Oakland. They don't like edge rushers.
I'd call him and say, listen, the only way you can get out of this draft with a Khalil Mack replacement is trading up to one and getting
Nick
Bosa.
I like that.
Give me four and your second round pick.
Well, they got two other first round picks. Ask for one. I'd ask for the other one. I'd ask for 24, 27.
I'd ask for the second.
The second.
I don't think Gruden would flinch. I think he'd give you four in the second because he knows he has two more first.
Okay. Yeah.
And so,
okay. That
and
makes
so then
sense.
He's like, yeah, well, go, come on.
So you're almost like holding these picks ransom. You're saying you're going to do this or we're going to screw your draft up.
Yeah. Or else we're going to take Bosa or we're going to trade with somebody to come get Kyler and then like Bosa will go two. But the 49ers are in a great position. They need an edge rusher.
They don't need a quarterback.
They're loving this Kyler Murray stuff.
Exactly. Please take him.
If he goes one, they're like, we will take Bosa too. Otherwise, they're going to have to take Allen or maybe even, load up back up with Quinnen Williams and other
defense. Yeah, because they did that and it was like, hey, we're not taking a quarterback here. You guys can have Mitchell Trubisky.
Absolutely right. Yeah. I've got a question for you. What do you think about the best offensive lineman in football, Garrett Bradbury?
Who?
The NC State center.
Brinson is just on the NC State bandwagon. It never ends.
Are you surprised that a center could go in the top half of the draft?
Typically, you don't see it all that often. But the way offensive line play is, if you've got him, doesn't really translate from college to the NFL, notwithstanding what the Colts did this year, because they hit on offensive linemen in a way you typically don't, that if you got one who can play, you take him regardless of what position he is. Ideally, you want to reserve that for a left tackle, but the way that the offensive linemen are hard to find generally.
If you can get one good one who can plug in for 10 years, you want to go ahead and pull the trigger. All right. Anything else that we should touch on out of
– And we saw a center go in the first round last year with –
Two, actually.
Billy Rice
and
two.
Frank,
oh, yeah.
Frank
yeah.
Ragnow.
And Frank
Ragnow. Anything else to touch on? We're going to bring Ryan Wilson on in a minute to talk about the running backs, winners and losers and all that. Anything you guys want to add or anything I missed? Any news out of the NFL today? I'm the host. I should be doing this.
I was surprised Brandon Graham returned to Philly.
He's got low mileage, though.
No, I thought that since he's a pressure guy. He's not a sack guy. He's a pressure guy. Right. He is a little bit older, but he does have low mileage. I thought with all these other guys getting franchised.
You thought with the tags, he would hit the open market and get real paid.
Yeah, I thought someone like San Francisco would make a real push at it.
Is it maybe a question where, like, Brandon Graham's like, look, they drafted me. I like it here in Philly.
Yeah, that just defense. Might be the thing because typically.
Jim Schwartz, I like Jim Schwartz as a coordinator.
If you get this close to free agency.
You don't.
Why not just test the market?
Right. What did you think about his deal?
It was a little under what I thought it would be. I was thinking Calais Campbell type money.
Really?
15 as opposed to 13.
Yeah, $13 million is weird for a guy.
Because they're basically the same age, and that's a two-year-old deal.
Interesting. And he would have gotten it in free agency because guys need, like the 49ers might have been in, they have tons of cap space.
But the interesting thing is you got teams apparently trying to deal pass rushers because Olivier Vernon's on the trading block.
That sounds to me like the Giants with like $13 million in cap room.
They'll cut him if they can't find a taker. Maybe the same with Justin Houston. They'll cut him if they can't find a taker. So maybe he saw there's going to be a glut of older pass rushers. And
get your money now.
Yeah, get mine while I can. Now.
Interesting. All right, great point. Joel Corey, follow him on Twitter at Corey Joel, right?
Yeah, Corey Joel, because Joel Corey is some British bodybuilding DJ, so I couldn't get. I don't have a common name, but
you
I
can follow
get
that
it.
Too.
I couldn't get it the way I wanted it, so I had to do last name first.
And follow John Breach on Twitter. We will be right back after this break to chat with Ryan Wilson about some NFL draft action.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, April 26th on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
All right, welcome back to the podcast. I thought John Breach was leaving. He's not. You're leaving tonight. Friday night, you're driving through the dark, the cover of night, to see your wife. A hero rides again. You excited to drive back to Nashville for 3 hours?
You know, I get to go back to Central Time. It's my favorite time zone, so I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I'm not excited about that. I am sad to leave you guys. You know, I love hanging out with you, though.
I gave your wife a shout-out on national radio.
She's going to appreciate it. She doesn't listen to sports talk radio.
I did.
I believe you.
I said, happy birthday, Rachel Breach. And then the hosts were like, happy birthday, Rachel. Oh,
but nice. She will be thrilled to hear that. And if they podcast that hour, I'll make sure. And the thing is, we live like 5 miles away from that 102.5 The Zone, I think.
Yeah.
From their headquarters.
How many times have you been on 102.5 The Zone?
I have been on once. And you know what? They actually asked me to be on like 2 weeks ago. And I forgot to text the guy back because, you know, it's hectic. February's hectic. We got the Super Bowl. We got the
I'm really bad about texting. See, like, I get like.
Really? Let me ask you, Brinson, what do you think the playlist is on Breach's car ride, 4 hour car ride tonight?
I hope it's 4 hours of the Pick Six podcast.
It's 4 hours of Britney Spears.
Well, this week it wouldn't be because
it's a lot of Taylor Swift.
It's 90s Pandora channel.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's it.
I thought
is that in your car or like, is that in your rental?
It was a rental car, so
no,
satellite.
He wears headphones in the car.
So you mean, do you have XM in there?
Yeah.
So you need to fire up the 90s right? Sirius.
Yeah,
the,
definitely.
The nine on the 90s is awesome.
And I would listen to the podcast, except I was on them all this week. If it was the other week, it would make sense.
Ryan, I bet you listen to like the coffee shop.
Yeah, smooth jazz. I don't, Ryan Wilson.
I've tried the coffee shop. I don't love it. I'm not going to lie.
Ryan, aside from Garrett Bradbury and yourself.
Star today, yes.
And yourself.
Right. Two big stars today.
I'm not kidding. You're the confidence level you're exceeding here is one of my favorite things.
Will Brinson-esque?
It is. Like, I like, you're sort of embracing this TV star role that you're becoming. I'm a little worried that, like,
his head's getting too big.
If you get, like, a tiny taste of, like, actual success, that you just might turn into a total douchebag.
Get arrested, and then it'll be a, like, a straight downhill, fall off the cliff type of thing. So what are you going to ask me about Garrett Bradbury?
No, I was going to ask you. So this is Saturday's show. We have seen the wide receivers and the running backs. Well, we've talked to the quarterbacks and the wide receivers. We've seen the running backs work out. We've seen the offensive linemen work out. Who so far, through 2 days of workouts, are the big winners of the combine?
Well, DK Metcalf benched 27 reps, 225.
Ole Miss wide receiver.
How many times do you think he could bench you?
Might be more than 27.
I would hope. And his
body weigh like 225, right?
His body percent is 1.6, body fat. He's 1.6%. I don't even think that's healthy.
It's not. And he'll be running the 40 today, today being Saturday. And if he goes sub 4.5 or less,
it's on.
I think he might be top 10.
Yeah, no, I agree. And Pete was saying earlier, Pete Prisco, if he's 4.6, what does that mean? I still think he's a first-round pick. Because you watch him play, man, he's dominating. So he had a really good day. Justice Hill out of Oklahoma State, 5'11", 198.
Running back, yeah.
Smaller back, obviously. He busted out a 4.4.
We watched that one. It was
and we were watching him, and I was telling someone that you and I were watching, and he looked slow out of the gate.
He did.
4.4 seconds later, he crossed finish line, and he had he may have had the fastest 40 time. I have to look. One of the most disappointing 40 times, Elijah Holyfield, 4.81. I don't know what you do from there. Two punters ran faster than he did.
But you're a running back, dude. How does that happen?
You have your dad chasing you around the yard when you're acting up. You can't run faster than 4.8.
Yeah.
You're getting a whooping.
Yeah, that was extremely disappointing. I think that's one of those things where, like, if he runs a 4.6, people are like, whatever.
Right.
You know, just he did a 40. It wasn't great. It wasn't perfect. You run a 4.75.
Let me ask you this.
4.81, that's bad.
If you've been training for weeks now and you're hitting consistently 4.75, 4.8, is that what are you thinking coming into this as a running back?
I'm thinking I pull my hamstring and I'm not running.
Oh, that's a good thought, actually. Yeah, you got to think that.
Yeah, I mean, like, is he, like, what
you
was
should have done that when you were racing Sean.
That was embarrassing. I did run a 4.96 one time.
No, you did.
Yes, I did. You saw me.
It's not against Sean.
Was that 30 yards?
Nice, Johnny.
Can we get some clarity there?
It was timed by a high school coach in Florida.
Was he awake when he
filmed?
Did
it? Me, Joy Taylor, Jamie Eisenberg,
was it time of the sundial?
And Dave Richard ran 40s. I cold smoked those dudes.
All right, I'll ask Jamie for confirmation. I remember seeing the video, but I'm not concerned. I was in.
This is probably like 2000 and
it's probably 5-6 years ago.
2015,
4 years ago. Okay,
yeah, but it was like I was in. We'd had like Robbie had been my son had been born, and was probably like.
Well, you didn't have the baby. That didn't affect your ability to run a race.
I got my baby weight off. So I finally got my baby weight off. I was in really good shape. Dude, flying down doing the Thursday night show, Thursday night football, and I was just working out a lot. Great shape. Ran a 4.96.
I don't think you ran a 4.96.
It happened. It was timed. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, but it was hand timed.
So you'd smoke Rich Eisen. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
I would
tell Rich Eisen that to his face.
Is that a challenge
now? You told Sean that to his face. Our coworker, Sean Wagner.
I was wearing khakis, no shoes, and I was
no
drunk.
No excuses.
Please. I mean,
could you beat Elijah Holyfield in a race?
No.
Okay.
Maybe. Could you beat 2000 Tom Brady?
Yes.
Wow, I love
Dad
that.
Dad bod Tom Brady?
Yes.
You could take him?
I mean, 2017 Tom Brady.
Oh, listen to this guy.
Whoa. I mean, that's crazy.
Who
Tom.
Else?
That's
who else?
Viable TV 12 Tom Brady.
Who else is a
about.
Big winner besides DK Metcalf this week so far?
Well, Garrett Bradbury, obviously your guy.
NC State center has said he does not want to play guard or tackle. He's going to be a center. He did 34 reps on the bench, 4.92 40.
Yeah, 4.93, I think. 4.95, 4.93.
Very fast for a guy that says, and looks really good in doing the drills on the field.
Andre Dillard, the left tackle out of Washington State, protected. Gardner Minshew up there last season ran sub 4.5. He is fantastic feed. The questions are can he run block, because you don't do a lot of that in Washington State. The other running back,
any of it?
What's that?
You don't do any of it.
That's right.
There's
yeah,
no
the
run blocking.
The other running back, Josh Jacobs, we've been talking about the whole time. He didn't run because of a groin injury. The other running back at Alabama that started the season as the guy, Damien Harris, ran 4.49, and that's a great number for him. And we'll get him back in the conversation because we haven't been talking about him for weeks.
Well, I think, like, and back to Bradbury, I would say he has solidified almost without a doubt his position in the first round.
Yeah, you have a crazy hot take on where he may go. But
I think he could go top 15.
That would be crazy.
I mean, like.
Could happen.
Look, he's a plug and play 10-year center.
Yeah, centers are important. Yeah.
No, he did ran his own blocking scheme at NC State, so that's a bit of a concern.
This is the final podcast of the week from
Indy.
Not. No, there's one more? Yep. Okay, well, here is my question to Wilson.
Ryan and I are recording at 9 a.m.
Either way, Wilson, if we had to take a drink every time Brinson mentioned an
dead.
NC State player this week, would we be dead or would we just be blacked
we
out drunk?
Been, we got here Tuesday. We would have been dead Tuesday evening.
Okay. Worked one more in. I just had to get that question out.
There's going to be two guys that go in the first round from NC State. I don't know what to tell you.
Although,
Calvin
I
Harmon
will say, if there
Garrett
were two Miami Ohio players, I'd probably be riding that pretty hard.
And then don't sleep on
non-stop.
Jacoby Myers. He's had a good combine, too. If he looks, you don't like Jacoby Myers?
I like him, but he's more of a slot guy. He's more of a
Yeah, but like your teams are a nickel 60% of the
but
time.
But he only averaged 11 yards per and that, you know, so questions there. I will say this. When I talked to Ryan Finley Senior Bowl, he said Calvin Harmon, obviously, he's my deep threat home run guy. But Jacoby Myers is my security blanket, so he can obviously do those things underneath.
Who was a loser this week?
Well, we talked about Elijah Holyfield running the 4.8. I mean, man, you just can't do that.
Before we get to losers, I want to point out that there are some winners, not players. I think that with Kyler Murray, and Pete Prisco thinks that he says Kyler Murray has not been good on whiteboards, according to team sources from him.
Pete's all over the map.
He showed us a bunch of tape that, you know, bad game against Texas. Like, okay, all right, that's fine. Bad game against Texas Tech, that is a bit of a red flag. Some questionable throws.
It wasn't a bad game, but bad plays.
Yeah, he was cherry picking bad plays to point out that he doesn't think Kyler Murray's great. I didn't think Kyler Murray had a great interview session. I think that could have gone better.
Could have gone better, but it went better than the Dan Patrick one at the Super Bowl.
Sure, 100%.
You know what's crazy about the Kyler Murray interview session and Dwayne Haskins will throw them both in? Is they both said they'd love to play for the Giants. You know, like, I feel like that's the one team these young quarterbacks are like, ooh, Saquon Barkley, ooh, Odell
Beckham,
ooh, Evan Ingram. They've got all these.
Ooh, Eli Manning's terrible.
Right, ooh, easily replaceable. So, I mean,
Nate Solder.
It's like those guys want to arm wrestle to see who gets to play for the Giants. So, like, obviously they don't get to pick their team, but that is the team that they all want to play for.
Well, but that gives me my point about the winners who are not players is that I think the Cardinals, Raiders and Jets are all big winners because while they might see some players at the top of this draft that they like, I don't think there's a surefire, like, there's no Myles Garrett type of guy. Like, Nick Bosa is very good, but I just don't think there's a potentially transformational prospect.
Nick Bosa and Myles Garrett are, I mean, you don't think he's that guy?
No, I think he can be. Okay. I just think that, like,
they control the top of the draft
for the Browns in 2017, it was like, we don't have a choice. We have to take Myles Garrett. I don't think, like, I think Nick Bosa is the default number one, but, like, you know, you can make a case for Josh Allen over Nick Bosa.
I think the only way it's not Nick Bosa is if it's
Kyler Murray.
One of you guys, right?
But to that point, the Cardinals, Jets, and Raiders, because these two quarterbacks, Dwayne Haskins and Kyler Murray, have had really good combines, the value of those top four picks have now gone through the roof because the Jaguars and the Giants are right there at 6 and 7, and you have to jump if you want a quarterback. If, like, the Redskins or Dolphins wanted a quarterback, they would have to get above 6 or 7. And if the Jaguars and Giants, they know that. And they know that other teams might be trying to do that. Broncos, same thing. So the Jaguars and Giants are potentially trade partners up into 3 or 4 if they want to draft a quarterback high. And so I think from that perspective, you go from having this top 5 pick where it's, you know, you don't know what a great option is at that spot. You can trade down, add more picks. We know the Jets would love to do that. They don't have a second round pick.
Right.
We know the Raiders would love to do that because – frankly,
they need as
many picks as possible. They have 4 in the first 35. I don't think they'd be opposed to trading down to even like 13 and getting, you know, 2 or 3 more picks. I don't think the Dolphins will do that, but I think those guys.
The Dolphins better do something. You can't just show up with Ryan Tannehill.
They're organic tanking.
What's that?
Organically tanking. Yeah. So what about losers? Who lost besides Elijah Holyfield?
We talked about him. Jonah Williams, he was tested okay today, but the issues are on Friday. The issues, of course, remain his arms. I love him. Talk for a second, Prince. I'm going to find the tweet that of his comment yesterday. It's fantastic when he was asked about his short arms.
What do you think about short arms, John?
Well,
as someone with short arms, what do you think?
Has incredibly long arms.
You have long arms?
No, I
can't relate.
How long? See your wingspan.
He doesn't have long arms.
I think he has a surprisingly long wingspan there.
I have long arms and big hands for a short dude.
God, this is a humble brag session.
My feet
you know what
are
they
big.
Say about guys with long arms and big hands?
They're liars. Tiny shoes.
I said the shoes aren't as big as my hands. Yeah.
So listen, here's what when he was asked Jonah Williams, whose arms came in at under 34 inches, which
by
is
by the way, you know the shoe that Zion Williamson broke was like a size 11. I wear an 11.
Just structurally, it couldn't stand to that. Yeah. So here's what Williams, a reporter, asked him about his short arms and what that means for playing offensive tackle in the NFL. And here's what Jonah said to them. If your arms were a little longer, you'd be able to reach the keyboard better.
Whoa.
You don't need that to be a great writer. That's a great comeback.
Now, if Kyler
had said something like that on the podium,
people would be like, "Oh, Kyler Murray's so funny!" Like that's like,
and people would be angry.
That's
about
a burn.
That's a sick burn.
But anyway, yes. Yeah, so there are questions about what he can do. You watch Jonah Williams play. I think he's really, really good. I think he's a top 10 pick, and he's going to be one of the first offensive linemen off the board. The other guy who didn't have a great day in terms of running, David Montgomery, who I love at Iowa State, ran 4.65. That's not the end of the world.
It's not great.
What's that?
I mean, he's smallish too. Like
he's 215, 220.
Yeah.
So, that's right. Devin Singletary ran a 4.55 as 5.7, 200. That's sort of an issue. You got to figure that out. You can't be a slow scat back.
Right.
But those two running backs, they'll have to improve with the pro day and all that other stuff.
Any other topics you want to touch on from this last week night, or this is the Saturday?
I'll ask John this. Who do you want the Bengals to take at 11? Like, are you seriously considering Andy Dalton replacements, or do you want to get like a linebacker?
We played quarterback matchmaker on HQ. By the way, I want to thank everybody again for listening and for. We saw our number spike from 12 to 1 on HQ, apparently. It's because the Pick 6 Army showed up, buddy.
Linebackers are definitely their biggest position of need. And I know we're playing quarterback matchmaker, and I'm putting. Who did I put with the Bengals?
Kyler Murray, Dwayne Haskins.
Anybody but Andy Dalton.
Nick
well,
Foles,
so here's the thing, though. Is
Ryan
I think
Tannehill.
That
Joe Flacco.
I honestly think you have to give Dalton 1 year.
John Kitna.
Zach Taylor's offense.
Zach Taylor.
Let him see if he has it figured out. Let him see if he can
John
do it.
Breach.
There's plenty of quarterbacks
David
next year.
Breach.
Dalton bombs. So
Dan Breach.
Colin Kaepernick.
So, yes, you
Rachel
fill
Breach.
In all – get a linebacker.
John Breach's cats.
Beef up the defense. Give Dalton one more year. Get a quarterback next year.
Mason Rudolph.
Hugh Jackson.
Not any of those people.
All Sorry, right. John. I didn't hear what you said. Go get one more time.
Hugh Jackson would rank last on the list of anyone I want in Cincinnati.
I do.
That was my favorite segment, by the way, ever.
This stinks. This is our last podcast where we're all in the same room, maybe until March or even April.
Or when we come to my house and have a party in Nashville.
Yes, we'll all be in Nashville for sure.
I live in Nashville. Brent will tweet out my address. We'll do a live podcast from my front yard. I will barbecue chicken for everyone.
It's 555 Andy Dalton Way.
John, right. X mark.
This is it. We gotta let our guys who do all the hard work.
Hey, happy birthday to John's wife.
Happy birthday,
30th
Rachel.
Birthday.
I'm not gonna give her a shout on the podcast. I already do it on national or local.
Well,
radio.
I will.
Just kidding. Happy birthday, Rachel. I'm sure she's listening to this podcast. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for subscribing. We will talk to you on Sunday when Ryan Wilson and I break down the quarterbacks.